morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our IFRS 17 briefing this morning. Now, I know you've sat through many of these presentations over the past few weeks, so I'm going to keep the comments upfront brief, only referencing a few pages in the pack we sent out, and then we can get into any questions you have. The key messages we want you to take away from today are set out on slide two. First, and most importantly, these accounting changes do not impact the economics of our business or our dividend-paying capacity. Secondly, the standards will drive several presentational changes in the income statement and balance sheet, which we think improves comparability between companies and should be beneficial for investors. Thirdly, the accounting choices we've made will improve alignment between reported earnings and capital generation under Solvency II. Fourthly, we expect there to be a modest reduction in equity on transition, largely due to the treatment of acquisition expenses. We expect similar reserve strength, with reserves set at around the 75% confidence level. And finally, we plan to use net insurance margin as our key performance measure, and we'll set out our targets on this basis alongside our full year 2022 results. So let's take each of these points in a bit more detail. I'm going to start on slide five to orientate you around the high-level income statement before I go into our policy choices. Now, it's important to state here that this is the management view of the income statement, and the statutory view will be a slightly different presentation. We have a new headline revenue measure that replaces net earned premium called net insurance contract revenue, and this will now include elements of other income as well as premium. After deducting net claims and expenses, we arrive at the insurance service result, and this replaces the underwriting result and again includes elements of other income reported, currently reported separately, for example, instalment income. On the management view, we intend to report operating profits as the insurance service result plus investment income and non-insurance activities. And below operating profit, we will capture the changes in fair value of assets and the movement of discounting liabilities in one place. There are a number of more detailed changes to where elements of income and costs will be reported, and these are set out on slides 8 and 9. Let's turn to the accounting policy choices on slide 6. The accounting choices we've made are designed to improve alignment between earnings and capital generation. Our contracts qualify for the premium allocation approach, or PAA, as virtually all of our insurance and reinsurance contracts are for 1 year, so we'll continue to earn on a straight line basis. From next year, premiums will include instalment income and other similar income, which will also be earned on a straight line basis. Moving down to acquisition costs, where today we defer these to the balance sheet, from next year we'll expense all our costs as incurred, which again brings it into line with the treatment under Solvency II. Now, the measurement of claims is the biggest change under IFRS 17. Today, we discount only our PPO liabilities, but under IFRS 17, we will discount all of our claims liabilities. This means there will be much closer alignment between IFRS and Solvency II, with small differences only arising from the illiquidity premium used under IFRS versus the volatility adjustment used under Solvency II. Lastly, for debt securities, we've chosen to recognise unrealised gains and losses in the income statement to match our liabilities, rather than in equity as they are today. On slide 7, you can see that in addition to the measurement changes, the standard introduces new terms and acronyms for the components of claims reserves. The chart shows that the current IFRS 4 management margin is removed under IFRS 17, and events not in the data or ENIDs are added. A risk adjustment is then applied around the 75% confidence level before the total is discounted. Now, there are two new acronyms that I suspect by now you're familiar with, the BEL or best estimate liability, and the LIC, or liability for incurred claims. So in summary, we will hold a similar level of reserve strength, and the changes bring us much closer in alignment with Solvency II. Now I'm going to move to slide 10 and the opening balance sheet. The headline is that there is a modest reduction in equity, and the waterfall shows the main movements. Basically, the removal of deferred acquisition costs is largely offset by a reduction in claims liabilities, including discounting. As you can see, the changes are straightforward. And finally, a few words on KPIs on slide 11. As I mentioned up front, we've opted to change our headline metric from combined ratio to net insurance margin. There are a few reasons for this. The main reason is that we believe it's a better measure for how we run our business, as it includes income that currently sits outside of the combined ratio. And we also think it's easier to compare insurers on this basis. And lastly, it's a measure that is more in line with other retail industries. We will set out our targets on this basis alongside our full year 2022 results. So that's all I wanted to cover today. You can see that the changes for us are relatively straightforward, and we believe the way we present the P&L going forward will be helpful. I'll now hand back to Daisy to open the line for your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to register a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure you are unmuted locally. And please kindly only ask two questions to allow others the chance. So that's star followed by one on your telephone keypad to register a question. Our first question today comes from Freya Kong from Bank of America. Freya, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Neil. Just checking on the breakdown of the insurance contract revenues, are you going to give us a split of the NEP and the other income or instalment income? Are we going to get that sort of granular detail? And then secondly, am I right in thinking that you're going to put the discounting of liabilities, so insurance finance expenses, below the operating profit? Thanks.
Thanks, Brett. Yeah, so on the first one, we should get all the detail in the notes of the accounts. So we'll split out the movement, the premium line, and then the contribution from other income into the insurance contract revenue. So you should be able to see, you should be able to see all that quite clearly when you come through. Mm-hmm. And then on the discounting, what we've done is we're going to put all that through one line that fits in it's in the net finance expenses number that captures all the discounting impacts and the market movements. So it's all in one place.
Okay, that's below the operating profit because this is your management view, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. All right, so it's more comparable to what we have now, I guess.
We're trying to create a line that is a clear line for you to judge our performance against.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Thomas Bateman from Berenberg. Thomas, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Just first on the discount rate, could you just give us a bit of a guide into maybe the level of discount rate that you're using, i.e. you know, what the illiquid premium might be? And the second question is just on the DAC. Could you just give us an idea in terms of, because I assume we'll have a slightly higher cost next year and slightly lower costs moving forward. Could you just give some kind of order of magnitude of those? Thank you.
So on the first question, the illiquidity premium, it depends where you are on the curve. So for short duration, it's pretty minimal, actually. And then as you go further out, it becomes greater. So I would say the further you go out, it's somewhere between 100 and 200 basis points, but it would depend a lot on where markets are, and obviously it's changed quite a lot over the course of this year. So it's quite minimal short end, gets increasingly greater as you go out through the curve. I'm saying the second question. Can you say it again, Tom?
Yeah, so because we're changing from deferring acquisition costs, I guess we have slightly higher costs in year one as we write that off. Is that fair? And maybe what's the impact of deferring the costs next year?
So it depends very much on the growth rate. So in a normal year, you wouldn't, in a year where you're fairly flat in terms of your new business flows, you wouldn't actually expect to see any difference, because your unwind of the DAC is equivalent to your new acquisition cost going in. Clearly, in a year, if you have very strong growth, you will see some new business strain coming through. But it will very much depend on the new business growth year on year to assess whether that's a drag or a positive.
Okay, answered. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to register a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our next question today is from Faizan Lakhani from HSBC. Faizan, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, Faizan.
Morning. Hi, Dave. I just had a question on Solvency II in terms of the flow from IFRS 17 earnings into capital generation. Currently, you have sort of a CapEx strain in there. Will that still be there going forward? I just want to understand that, really.
Yeah, so thanks, Faizan. So what we've tried to do is align as much as we can. Clearly, there are some things that will not align between IFRS earnings and Solvency II, and CapEx is one of them. So we'll continue to amortise through the IFRS 17 P&L, and then in the Solvency II, effectively cap gen, we'll effectively the intangibles are written off, and then you'll see the CapEx going through the Solvency II. So it'll be the same as today. We can't align that because the accounting treatment is just different.
Okay, thank you. And second question, obviously currently all of your guidance is set on current IFRS thinking in terms of combined ratio targets and so on. Will you be providing revised guidance, and will that broadly match in terms of waterfall to what we have right now?
So we'll do all that at year end, Faizan. So what we're very keen is that we can take you on the walk between existing targets and those targets under IFRS 17.
Okay, so it's not a case of you'll be looking to change the targets, it's more just sort of a new way of looking at it.
Yeah, it would have to be restated because obviously there's different numbers going in, but we'll take you through that journey at the year end.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from William Hawkins from KBW. William, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, Will.
Hey, Neil. Thank you. Again, and apologies if my questions betray ignorance, because this is a learning process. A couple of things that you guys are doing seem to be quite different from what I thought was the emerging standard under the CFO forum. And I just want to clarify whether it's my understanding that's wrong or whether you've deliberately deviated, and if so, what the logic behind that is. So my first understanding is that the big companies across Europe applying the PAA, the liability volatility from interest rate movements on past periods is being taken through OCI rather than through the main P&L. It seems to me that, again, unless I've misunderstood, that yours is carrying on going through the P&L. And then secondly, your combined ratio definition seems quite materially different. I mean, the other companies are sort of seeming to balance towards claims and expenses divided by gross earned premiums, and you seem to have a very different metric. I mean, I'm not making a statement about what's better or worse. I'm just trying to understand, you know, if there are differences, and if so, why they're there. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. So on the first one, I don't think we're intentionally different. I mean, we've just chosen to put everything through the P&L because we think that's a simple approach, have everything in one place rather than trying to bifurcate between P&L and OCI or balance sheet and P&L. So I think that's actually easier for people. No intention to be different. We just think that's an easy way to capture it all. On the second one, internally we had quite a debate about what's the right metric going forward. We think the metric should reflect your business model rather than just pure accounting. So that's why we've moved to a more retail type metric, because combined ratios never really work for retail insurance. And some of the companies you're referring to will might be less retail and more commercial, as an example. And so actually we have we generate quite a lot of income outside of the combined ratio. So we think actually to make it more actually easier for investors to understand, moving to a margin measure or a retail margin measure is actually easier. Certainly, if you were a pure commercial insurer, then combined ratio still does make some sense. Although I would say, well, it seems to be lots of different. From stuff I read, lots of different definitions for how people get to a combined ratio, even under IFRS 17.
Yeah, for sure. Got it. Thank you, and thanks to your colleagues for the hard work.
Thanks, all.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ben Cohen from Investec. Ben, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, hi there. Good morning, everyone. I had two questions, please. Apologies if the line's a bit crackly. How material do you expect onerous contracts to be in the course of time? And where do you see on what sort of lines do you think that would be incurred, and how quickly will they sort of unwind? And the second question was, just what sort of length of history will we get to compare for the new metrics, particularly, I suppose, around the around your replacement for the combined ratio, but also maybe with regards to reserving? Are there going to be any material changes in terms of how the reserve triangles would look? Thanks.
Thanks, Ben. So on the first onerous contracts, we don't expect any onerous contracts. Partly that's because we're expensing acquisition costs up front, which is normally where you would potentially see onerous contracts where you've got very high new business strain. But because we're expensing that, we wouldn't expect any of the contracts to be onerous on an accounting basis. In terms of history of disclosure, reserving, our intention was to do effectively a 10-year reserve triangle. I haven't seen it yet. And hopefully there's nothing odd in there that would prevent us from doing that, but that's certainly the intention, the gross of discounting, as we should make sure to see how that looks, make sure it does make sense for you. And on the margin, let me take that one away. I mean, clearly you have it for the years that we're doing IFRS 17 for. You can work up a crude estimate of it from the current IFRS 4 P&L actually. But let me take that away, see if we can improve that slightly with a bit of history.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, I would just like to do one final reminder. If you would like to register a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Rhea Shah from Deutsche Bank. Rhea, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for the presentation, Neil. Just two questions. How should we think about reserve releases going forwards? And then secondly, I completely understand that there's no change to your dividend paying capacity, but will you be linking the dividend to IFRS earnings going forwards, or just using the same policy that you currently have?
Thanks, Ray. Good morning. I'm going to say no change, actually, to both of those. So the accounting shouldn't, given the reserve strength is similar under IFRS 4 and IFRS 17, there shouldn't be any accounting reason for a change in the reserve releases coming through. And then on dividend, again, no change at the moment. That current policy is pretty clear, I hope.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have no further questions, so I'll hand back over for any closing remarks.
Thank you all. I really appreciate it. We're never quite sure how long it'll run, because you're probably all quite bored of IFRS 17 presentations by now, although I know there are a few more this week. So I really appreciate the questions. If you have anything else, then please just pick up the phone to Paul or me, and we'll try and work it through. Otherwise, have a fantastic, slightly snowy day.